It's Parshas Kisavoy this week. First thing I'd like to talk about is the Parsha of Bikurim. Okay, the Parsha begins Bikurim. Bikurim is a major topic in the Torah. Come into Eretz Yisrael and you bring to the Beis HaMikdash the Reishis Pri Ho'adama, and you give it to the Kohen, and you put it down on the ground, and you lift it up, and you put it in a basket, and you wave it together with the Kohen, and you make an elaborate declaration, and the words and the declaration that you make is what we recite and expound upon at great length in the Haggadah. It is the central theme of the Haggadah, Haggadah of Pesach, to focus on the Parsha of Bikurim. Something caught my attention yesterday. I saw this from a secondhand source. I don't have it here in front of me in Mikros Gadolos, which I don't need now. The Kli Yakar. The Kli Yakar says that the beginning of Parshas Kisavo, Parsha Bikurim, is almost identical to one other Parsha in the Torah. Parsha Sugya in Parshas Shoftim, of the Melech. Let me read you the psuk that he is referring to. In Parsha Shoftim, we learned about a king. When you come into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to want to appoint for yourself a king. Let me find the pasuk. Here it is. Kisavo el ha'aretz. Make believe you're mishing a Sefer Torah, right? Make believe you're rolling the Sefer Torah. And, if you're not familiar, it says Kisavo. Here it's Kisavo. You can get confused between Parshas Shoftim and Parshas Kisavo. Because it says Kisavo. I'm reading for Parshas Shoftim. Kisavo Yalaretz, Asher Hashem Elokecha Nosein Loch, V'Yirishta. Hashem will give you, you will inherit it. V'Yashavta Bo. And you'll dwell upon it. And then, via Marta, you will say, I want to appoint the melech. What does it say in the beginning of our parasha? V'hoyoki savo el ha'aretz. Asher Hashem lokecha nosein l'cho nachala. Okay, it says the word nachala. L'cho nachala. V'yirishta. You will inherit it. V'yashavta bo. Those same expressions. It's almost identical. It's okay, a little nuance. What's the connection? Haloi Davar. The only two mitzvahs in the Torah which begin with an introduction of you'll come to the land which Hashem has given you, you will inherit it, and you will dwell upon it. And now two things. Parshas Shoftim, we want a king. Parshas Kisavo, make sure you don't forget to bring Bikurim every year. Your first fruits must be brought to Eretz Yisrael. There is a connection. Okay, so I did not see in detail what the Kli Yakar says. The Kli Yakar develops it. But I want to suggest Jewish, which has to be developed. Maybe it's a Jewish with a capital D, okay? But it has to be developed. I think there's definitely something here. There's a connection. And the connection is, there are two types of kings. There's the king of Klal Yisrael, and then there's the king of yourself. The same way Klal Yisrael needs a melech to be moishel over the entire Klal Yisrael, a person has to be moilech over himself. You have to make for yourself a king, meaning you have to be king over your yetzer hara, over your impulses, your desires, your behavior. You have to rule over yourself. And when we look at it in this fashion, I think there are some fascinating parallels. The similarities match one to the other. What are the laws of the king? Let me go one step at a time. The first thing it says about the king in Parshas Shoftim, it says, I want a king. I want a king. Hashem says, okay, you want a king? Okay. Soim tasim alecha melech. Now, by the way, let me just take one step back. The Kli Yakar, I think the Kli Yakar does say, what's the significance of Yashavta of Yirishta Ba? What's the significance of the Yirishta of Yashavta Ba? This is a very dangerous moment in time. After you inherit the land and you dwell in the land and you feel secure, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, comes a time of complacency, comes a time of gaiva, A person can be led to feel that he no longer needs Hashem. He is above Hashem, and that can lead to, like, we know. I want to mention this too. That when Yom Kippur, they would send away the Sarla Azazel, they would take the wool, they would divide the wool into two parts. One part was a piece of red wool, they would tie it to the Sarla Azazel, and the other part they would hang up on the gate of the Beis HaMikdash. And everyone would come and look and see if the miracle would happen that the wool would turn from red to white. Now what happened if it turned white? What happened? So either it turned white, or it didn't turn white. Whatever happened wasn't good. Why? If it did not turn white, it remained red, it's a bad sign. It means Hashem didn't forgive us. Hashem didn't forgive us, we are in trouble. Let's say it turned white, it was also bad. Because now we're complacent. Klal Yisrael, it turned white. We're forgiven. We're forgiven, we can now do, we have credit. We have credit. We can now tomorrow go and do whatever we want to do. We're off to the races. We can do whatever we want to do. If it turned white, it triggered a feeling of complacency. Man of shach, it's no good. Same idea here. The hoya ki savo el haretz asher Hashem elokecha nosein lach. Hashem has given it to you, and you have the yirishta. You'll inherit it. The yashavta ba. Wow, what more can you possibly want in this world? You've accomplished. Oh, now sets in complacency. Now is the real challenge. The real challenge. Vayishman yishun vayivat. So what do you have to do? So along comes these two parshios, the Kli Yakar says, you got to protect yourself. How do you protect yourself? Well, for the klal, melech. Soim tosim olecha melech, to keep you in place, to keep you in check. Keep you in line. That's at the half of the melech. Don't get too complacent. You should be held in check, pay taxes, make sure you know what your purpose here is in this world. That's for the klal. What about for the yachid? The yachid also needs some type of checks and balances. And that's what I wanted to suggest now is the balance. The parasha shayftim, let's go through the rules once at a time. I'll show you the parallel between these two. The first thing that it says about the melech is that who's going to be the melech? Soim tasim olecha melech, asher yivcha Hashem elokecha bo, mikerev achecha. The first rule is an insider. You don't let to have anyone from a foreign nation. It must be from mikerev achecha. When it comes to bikurim, when it comes to chum and meiser, there are many legal loopholes. You don't have to necessarily give your chum and meiser. When it comes to a meiser, I don't want to give my fruit to the kohen. I'll take someone else's grain, and I'll be mafrish from that on mine. It doesn't necessarily have to be your own. It can be, if you have in front of you grain, and you want to be mafrish chum and meiser, in certain situations, I don't have to be mafrish mineu bei, from the actual produce. I can be mafrish from other produce, and that will work for this produce. It doesn't necessarily need to be mineu bei. There are halachas, there are guidelines. But when it comes to bikurim, no such thing. The bikurim comes mikerev achecha. What does Rashi say? You go out to the field, and when you see that a fig is just beginning to blossom, this is my first fig, my first cluster of grapes, my first date. Take a blade of grass, tie it around it. It has to be from yours. So I want to suggest that this requirement, v'lokachta me'reishis pri ho'adama, which Rashi tells us, make sure you go to the field and you witness the budding of the very first fruits, the very first fig, and you tie a blade of grass. This parallels what you're doing personally for yourself for Bikurim, to show that it's not your land, what it says about a king, that the king has to be mikerev achecha. There is some degree of similarity in these two ideas. The king must be from your own, mikerev achecha. Your bikurim must be from yours, the very first of your fruits. The next thing it says about a melech is, he may not have too many horses. Why? And what's the danger? He'll take you back. He'll take you back home. He'll take you away from your home. He'll take you back where you came from Egypt. What does it say about Bikurim? V'holachta, put it in the basket. V'holachta el hamokoim. Know where you're going. Know your destination. It's, you can't just bring Bikurim by giving Bikurim to the local Kohen in your shtetl. Bikurim, you have to take Bikurim. If you live all the way in the outskirts of Eretz Yisrael, you got to bring Bikurim where? To the Mokoim, to Yerushalayim. Making that trip and going from where you are located to Yerushalayim parallels what it says about the Melech. The goal of the Melech is make sure you don't take the people out of the Mokom. The Mokom is critical. You're here in Eretz Yisrael, and if the king's going to have too many horses, he'll go and he'll take the people back. Because if you have too many horses, that's going to lead to taking the people to a different mokoim, to the mokoim of Mitzrayim. The next thing it says, a melech may not have too many wives. Why not? Too many wives will cause his heart to sway. What's the next requirement about the Bikurim? Uvaso el hakoyhein asher yihyeh bayomim hohen. In that time. Coming to the Kohen bayomim hohen corresponds not having too many wives. Why? What could happen? You come, there's a new leader, there's a new Kohen. A person from the previous generation says, this young rabbi, not from my generation. This is not my type of rabbi. Not what I'm used to. I'm not going to follow his policies. I'll do what I want. I know from a different generation. I'm not going to listen. My heart will be swayed from the new policies enacted by the leaders of this generation because he's not my rabbi. My rabbi was the Kohen Asheriya by Yomim Mohem in the previous generations. No, the boss el koina shayya bayomim. You have to come to the koina shayya bayomim. The koin of that generation. Why? Because you have to follow the rules. The rules of that generation. That's equivalent of having too many wives. If you have too many wives, there are more than 18 wives. The wives are going to pull this person in many directions. You're not going to be able to focus on the present, on what needs to be done now, because you're too confused. Your attention is diverted. So I want to suggest that these two go together. Again, you have to develop this a little bit. You have to finesse this and develop this a little bit more. But there definitely is something here. There definitely is some connection. By too many wives is Yosel Levavo. And there's a hakpada. You go to the Kohen by Yomim Mohim, this Kohen. Don't go start thinking about other Kohanim from other places and other generations and start being swayed in different directions. What's the next rule of the Melech? The next rule of the Melech is third rule. The third rule is v'lo yar v'chesev v'zohov lo yar be'eloi me'oid. The king may not have too much money. Too much money leads to gaiva. It leads to gaiva, too much money. What's the next requirement? You come to the Kohen Hashem b'yom Mohem, v'yamati lo v'gan, you say to him, igati ha'yom ha'ashem lo'kech yivasi el ha'aret asher nishpa Hashem la'avosein lo'aslanu v'loch ha'kohen ha'satenem mi'yodecha v'hi nichoy. And you put the basket down on the ground. Why do you have to put the basket down on the ground? What's the big deal? You put the basket down on the ground, that's one of the essential requirements. Hanocha, rest. Adkan, when it comes to Parnasa, you reach a certain point, you have enough. You have enough. It's equivalent to what it says by the Melech, V'chesev v'zohov lo yarbe loy me'oid. When it comes to your own personal Parnasa, you're bringing your blessing and you put it down, enough. I have what I need, now it's time to devote myself to my family, to devote myself to Torah, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are other things in life that a person has to spend time on. Vihi nichoy. Next, what does it say about the Kohen? It says about the Melech. It says, what should he do? He should write a Sefer Torah. Mishnei HaTorah HaZois Al Sefer Milifnei HaKohanim HaLevim. They should, the Kohanim and the Levim, the Kohanim from Sheva Levi, should teach the Melech, should learn Kohelel. And they should teach him. Why should he have to learn Torah? He has to have a Torah attached to his arm. He should learn Torah. I think it ran, the battery is almost out. Don't worry. We don't get by. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's okay. Levil tirim levavoy. He has to learn Torah. What's the next thing? What's the next thing that when you do by Bikurim, the Anisa the Amarta, you raise your voice, the Amarta, and you make the declaration, and you go through the entire parasha. You mamish, you learn Torah. You learn Torah, and you go through that, and you read the entire history, the declaration. And you go through Arami, Avir Aviv, Ayered Mitzrayim, you recall your humble beginning. We started out in Lavan, in Aram Naharayim, Arami, Avir Aviv. Lavan wanted to destroy Yaakov, or other interpretations. And we went to Egypt, and we suffered. And Hashem saw our suffering. We recall our humble beginnings. What's the purpose of recalling our humble beginnings? Like the Melech. Levilti Yorum Levavo. Not to come to a degree of gaiva. It's the same idea. Reciting our humble beginnings when you bring the Bikurim is a technique. It's a method to humble us. Look where you come from. You come from slaves. You were slaves in Egypt. You come from Aram Naharayim. Therefore, again here we see another parallel between the Melech and the Bikurim, and then the pasuk concludes with the end Leman Yarich. The last part, the last parallel is the at the end of the parsha becomes a bracha Leman Yarich Yamim Al Mamlach Tehu Vanu Bekar Vishol a bracha. And what's the end of Bikurim? Hashkifa Mim Oyin Kachcha Min Hashemayim Uvarich Asamcha Yisrael. The last part is the bracha. Hashkifa v'samachta b'chol ha'toiv, and the bracha and the tefillah v'yishtachadiz Hashem lokecha v'samachta b'chol ha'toiv asher nasa Hashem lokecha l'veisecha atav alev b'kirbecha, also the bracha that comes at the end of the parasha of Bikurim. So I think that definitely over here is something very significant. Let's review all of the steps. These are the only two parashos that begin in this method. You come to Eretz Yisrael, you inherit it, and you dwell in it, and now there's a requirement. For the klal, the requirement is the melech. For the prat, the requirement is Bikurim. They're both coming to accomplish the same goal, to keep a person in check. Don't become complacent. Don't become arrogant. Don't make mistakes. Everything that it says that klal yishol should do for the melech is what a Torah says the individual should do for himself in a different fashion. The melech, we have halacha mikerev achecha. There's a hakpada by Bikurim. Make sure you bring mikerev from within your own fruits. Don't go take other fruits from somewhere else. Make sure that you take the very, very first fruits. Go into the field and tie grass, blades of grass around the very first fruits. Mikerev achecha. That makes an impression. The next thing, the king is lo yar b'lo susim. He shouldn't go back. You have to know the mokah. You've come to Eretz Yisrael. Don't go look for other countries to live in. Don't go back to Mitzrayim. Uvasoel ha-mokoyim. Bikurim, you don't give to the local kohen, your neighbor. You got to go to Yerushalayim. You go el ha-mokoyim. Next thing, the king can't have too many wives. V'lo yosu levavoy. Uvasa, what kind of kohen are you going to? Asher yiyeh bayomim oheim. Don't be swayed other ideas, other types of kohen from different generations. This kohen, you're limited to who you have now. Don't think about other wives, other kohenim. Who you got now? The next requirement, don't have too much money. The king is not allowed. Lo yar b'lo kesef is off. You also, v'hi nichoy. Strange halacha. Since when you got to put that on the ground? You're making a statement. Ad kan. I have parnasa for this year. The other things to focus on. V'inichoy. Next, the kohen has to write a sefer Torah. The melech has to write a sefer Torah. V'karbo kol yimei chayav. To learn Torah. To learn Musar. Levilti yoram levavoy. V'yonisa v'yomarta. You have to humble yourself. Levilti yoram levavoy. Recall your humble beginnings where you've come from. And then, leman yarech, yomim, he'll live along, his malchus will extend, and that's what we see over here at the end of the bracha. The samachta b'chol hatoiv asher nosan l'cho Hashem ulekechu l'beisecha hatoiv alivi v'ager asher b'kabecha. You have to be moilach on yourself. There's a melech for Klal Yisrael, and there's a melech for yourself. And when you have these two types of kings, then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be malchusa da'ada, or be ke'ein malchusa d'rekil b'zecha to the malchus of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's one idea about Bikur. Now we'll go to another idea about Bikur. It's a fasting tanchuma. Okay, the Tanchuma says that Moshe Rabbeinu, we have a parasha Bikurim, and Moshe Rabbeinu, up in Ruach HaKodesh, he saw that it's going to happen, that the base Hamigdash will be bottled, and Klal Yisrael will go into Golus, and there will no longer be a base Hamigdash, and there will no longer be an opportunity for the Jewish people to bring Bikurim. He saw this, Al Pi Ruach HaKodesh. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu do? He stood up, and he established for Klal Yisrael they should daven three times a day. Hafleva fell. What does that mean? Moshe Rabbeinu saw there's not going to be Bikurim, so he was misaking tefillah. We learned in the Daf Yomi not very long ago. There are two reasons why we have tefillah. Either Chazal or misaking. The Chazal is either Knegeda Tamidin, the Karbanos, or the others were misaking because of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. All of a sudden, there's a new person we spoke about Lot. Remember, we spoke about Vasikin, was established by Lot. All of a sudden, we have now a new person coming into the picture who is misaking Tzvila, Moshe Rabbeinu. What's going on here? Mandakar Shemei, since when did Moshe Rabbeinu come and establish Tzvila? The others. Or Kneged the Tzmidin. What's going on here? So all of the Mepharshim, they struggle with this. It's a very difficult. I am part of the Torah. Okay, so we have a third approach. So I want to suggest a simple, very simple mahalach. In tefillah, we find this all over. And I'll give you a few examples. Some very simple examples. Just so you have something I came across, which I found to be. It's not a perfect example, but it's just something which is interesting. You have to pray to have hatzlacha to pray. What do I mean? Before we begin the Shemona Esrei, the Shemona Esrei is the Nusach HaTfilah. What do we do before we begin Shemona Esrei? We pray. Hashem Sefosai Tiftach Ufi Yagid Tilosecha. We pray that we should be able to pray. It's very difficult to daven. It's very distracting. We say the same words every day. It's very, very hard. Psychologically, it's extremely difficult to concentrate on something which we say, repeat every single day. We need siyata d'shmaya to remove the distractions so that we can. So Hashem sefosa etiftach ufi yageti losecha is a prayer that we should succeed in our prayers. Where else do we do this? What's the classic example of doing this? On the Yomim Noirohim, the Shatz, the Baal Musaf, begins with Hinini. Hinini Hani Mimas. What else? You have Echila. Echila. You have Echila. Before you begin the Seder of the Avoda, Yom HaKippur, Menei Rosh Hashanah, Malchus, Zechus, and Sharpos, Echila. And even before Echila, you have you have that beautiful tefillah that comes even before Achila. There's a beautiful tefillah, and in fact, they're different minhagim. In some communities, the Shatz himself does not say that. The Tzibur says it on behalf of the Shatz. Beautiful tefillah. What?
Monday's
minhagim. So they are all over, we find this idea of being mispalel to be so that we should be succeed in tefillah. I'll just give you one other example which I came across, is very interesting. Every day we say Ahava Rabba. And after we mispalel, it's all about Torah. The Horeinim B'sarah Secha, V'Davik L'Bein B'Mitzvah Secha. Now that's the part Taka wanted to make. We have Avinu Avarachamon, Hamarachim Rachim Aleinu, V'Sem B'Libeinu L'Havinu L'Haskil L'Shmoya L'Lumod L'Lamer L'Lishma V'Lasos Kaim Eskod V'Ya Talmud Stivrei Salmud Toiros Chab Yahava. Okay, so we're finished. What more do we possibly need to say? I mean, that says it all. The same B'Libeinu L'Havinu L'Haskil L'Shmoya L'Lumod L'Lamer L'Lishma V'Lasos L'Kayim Eskod V'Ya Talmud Toiros Chab Yahava. What more do you want? We go weiter. V'hoher einenu b'sarasecha. V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvotecha. V'yachel levaveinu li'ahava li'yira eshemecha. V'lo nevo shli'olam v'oed. Ki v'shem kodshecha ha'godul v'hanur b'tochnu megila v'nizcha b'shusach. What's going on? It's repetition. We already said before, give us and our hearts lohavim lahaskas. I saw in a sefer. I do not remember who says. I think I saw this in the Talei Oros on Tzfila. It's a four volume Talei Oros on Chumash, but they have also four volumes on Tzfila. And he says there, this expression is a Tzfila that when we come to that we should be matzliach in saying Kriya Shema Bekavana. We learned in the Daf Yom, if you don't say the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad with Kavana, lo yotza. If you don't say the pasuk of Yohavta, lechatchila, you're not allowed to space out, to divert your attention, until you finish the first parsha of Kriya Shema, v'hayu l'totofos b'inenecho, chasavtem al mizuzos b'yisachov v'yisharecha. It's very hard to concentrate. This expression is like the Hashem sifosai tiftach, of Shmona Esrei, the same way Hashem Sifos HaTivtach is to Shmona, what Hashem Sifos HaTivtach is to Shmona Esrei, that is what V'ho'er Eneinu B'Sarasecha is to Kriya Shema. We're being Mevachei Shema Hashem, that when we come to Kriya Shema, please grant us the Siyata D'Shmaya, that we should be able to concentrate on the words. So when we read V'ho'er Eneinu B'Sarasecha, enlighten our eyes in your Torah, which Torah? We already spoke about Torah, learning the daf in the previous expression. It means in the words of Shema and V'ahavta, Hashem, wake us up. Wake us up and open up our eyes, take away the distractions. So in 10 seconds from now, when we read up Kriya Shema, we should at least, our eyes should be open and we should concentrate. Our eyes should be enlightened in your Torah, the Torah of the words of Shema. V'dabek libeinu b'mitzvotecha, and we should cleave to the mitzvah of b'shach b'cha uvikumecha, of kabbalos v'malchus shemayim, and we should be able to be concentrated on the pasuk of Shema Yisrael, so it should be a real kosher Kabbalah. V'yached levaveinu, what's kabbalos v'malchus shema, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, please unify our heart, l'ahava u'liyir eshemecha, so when we say the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, we should mean it. It's incredible. This expression over here is about kosher. It's the same way we say Hashem Sifosai Tiftach for the Shmona Esrei. We mevakish here in the Ahava Rabbah, we should be matzliach in our when we come in 10 seconds from now to the Kriya Shema. So you find this theme all over the place. Hashem Sifosai Tiftach v'horeinenu hinini he'ani nimas echila heyeim b'fiyos shluchiyam chabes Yisrael. What? L'shem yichud, not necessarily. L'shem yichud, well, it's okay, maybe a little bit. Okay, inachnami. There is something to it. Who established this concept? So I want to suggest this is Moshe Rabbeinu. What is Bikurim? Bikurim is Hashem Sifosai Tiftach. Why? What comes after you bring Bikurim? You're first getting started. After you bring Bikurim, then you have to be Mafresh, Truma, and Meiser, and there's Leket, and Shicha, and Peah, and Chala, and all the halachas begin, all the mitzvahs begin. You know what Bikurim is? Bikurim is to put yourself in the right frame of mind that this land belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, everything is His, so now when I go forward and I bring all of the peres and I do all of the mitzvahs of Truma, Meiser, Trumas Meiser, Leket, Shechem Pei, and so on and so forth, and Challah, I should do it, I should succeed in doing it properly. Bikurim is to all the mitzvos which follow what Hashem Sifosai Tiftach is to our tefillah. Avos were mesakein tefillah. Moshe Rabbeinu was mesakein also tefillah, a different tefillah. Tefillah for tefillah. Where do we walk? Because Moshe Rabbeinu's tefillah corresponds to Bikurim. What is Bikurim? So you'll say very seldom, Bikurim is another mitzvah. You have Truma and Meiser and Leket, Shichon, Peyin, Chala, and so on and so forth. There's another mitzvah called Bikurim. No. Bikurim is the mitzvah which precedes all of them. It is the introduction. It's the foreword of the book. It's the introduction to the book. It puts you in the proper frame of mind to proceed to now carry out all of the other mitzvahs. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu B'davka specifically connects his the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu is specifically connected to Bikurim. It's not a contradiction to the Gemara. The Avos u'Masakin, the Ikar Tfilos, the Shmona Esrei, Shacharis, Mincha, and Ma'ariv, but they were not Masakin, Hashem Sifos HaYetivtoch. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one that introduced us to the concept you have to be Mespalel to be successful in your tefillah. A tefillah for a tefillah. Okay, that's another idea. Okay, now let's go to another idea, and end of this, the major theme of this week's parasha is the Toichacha. About half the parasha, even more than half the parasha, is the Toichacha. And there are many commentators on this week's parasha, they contrast this Toichon, Kisavoy, to the Toichon Parshas Bechukosai. And they ask a very still fundamental question: what is Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? It's not enough. We already had a Toichacha in Bechukosai. We need another Toichacha. Why is there a need for another Toichacha here in this week's parash? Why do we have to have another Toichacha? And also, what's the difference? Just throw out a whole bunch of questions. I don't have any really concrete word to tell you. I just want to just bring out some issues, some things to think about. First of all, why do we need another Toichacha? That's number one. Number two, in the Toichon parash Bechukosai, it ends with a bracha. Right? The Baal Kore, he reads it in a lower tone than the rest of the parasha. When you get to the very end of the Toichon, Parashas Bechukosai, the Baal Kore, he raises his voice, because we end off with Nechama. The Nechama is V'zocharti es britzi Yaakov V'yafes britzi Yitzhak V'yafes britzi Avraham Ezkar V'yaretz Ezkar. The end of the Toichon, there is some Nechama. There is a slight degree of Nechama. Here, L'choyren Parashas Kisavoy does not appear to be any Nechama. It's all Toichacha. And the last pasuk is Eile Divrei HaBris Asher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe L'chroes Es B'nei Yisrael B'eretz Moriah B'lbad HaBris Asher Karas Itam B'chorev. Period. And now you make the bracha Achareina. Where is the Nechama? How could it be? So, there are many. Okay, so let me just. There are a lot of different ideas. Okay, these are short ideas. So one answer is, first of all, let's discuss Rosh Hashanah. On Rosh Hashanah, there are 2 days. Yom Arichta. Why there are 2 days? So in the Hasidic Sfarim, it tells us there's something called Dina Kosha and Dina Rafia, a harsh din and a soft din. The first day of Rosh Hashanah is called Dina Kosha, harsh. It's very, very hard to succeed, to prevail on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. The commentators tell us most of us in this generation are judged on the second day Rosh Hashanah. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, it's a much easier din. The Hashem is easygoing. Hashem overlooks all of the sins. It's a time of rachamim. The first day, it's for the tzaddikim that Hashem is medaktik b'chut hasa. It's called dino koshya. Just like we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu, when He created the world, Kadosh Baruch Hu originally created the world to be the sadin Elohim, b'yom b'rois Hashem Elohim. Hashem saw the world would not be able to survive on din, so Hashem had no choice but to be m'shtateif rachamim l'din. This is reenacted the first 2 days, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Even Eretz Yisrael, there are 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. Yom Arichta, the first day is Dina Koshya. Hashem is Medakte Kechut Hasara. And if a person tries to enter into that din on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, the reward is very great. But it's not likely a person will survive, because it's too harsh. The second day, Hashem overlooks. Hashem is Meichel, Hashem is Kel Rachel, Mechanim, Yitzarachim, Medina Rafia. So some of the commentators want to say that's really the difference between that's why we have two Toichachas. The Toichacha of Pumchomish Parish Bechukosai is Dina Koshya. It's very harsh. It's Hashem Himself issued that Toichacha. It was said by Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Toichacha of Parashas Kisavoy is Dina Rafia, soft. Rafia means soft. It's from Moshe Rabbeinu. And when we have this idea in mind, it totally opens up for us a understanding between the first, after we make this parallel, and we say there are 2 days Rosh Hashanah, there is a double Teichacha, and the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, each Teichacha corresponds to 1 day of the 2 days of Rosh, the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, and the Teichacha of Parashas Pichakos corresponds to the first day, and the Teichacha of Parashas Kisav corresponds to the second day, and we are well aware there's something called Dina Kosh, Dina Rafia. It opens up this combination, making these links, opens up a deeper understanding into Rosh Hashanah, the 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and also a deeper understanding into what the Teichacha is all about. Now what do we mean? Well, first of all, there's some fundamental difference besides the fact that the Teichacha of Bichul Kosai is from Kadosh Baruch Hu, and the Teichacha from Kisavai from Moshe Rabbeinu. The Teichacha from Bichul Kosai is said Beloshen Rabim for Klal Yisrael. The Teichacha of Parshas Kisavo is said to the Yochid, to the individual. And that opens up for us an understanding into what's Dina Koshya and Dina Rafia. Hashem has much higher standards for the Tzibur than for the Yachid. You have a group of people. Okay, in a group of people, every person has faults. No one is perfect. But if a group of people, they come together and they pool their talents and their koichos, they could accomplish great things. They could accomplish things that are beyond anyone's wildest imagination. The individual can't accomplish them because the individual is limited. But when you take together the koichos, every person contributes what he has, his talents and his koichos and his resources, you can accomplish very great things. That's Dina Koshya. The first day Rosh Hashanah corresponds to the Teichacha, to the Musar of Bichul Kosai, the Tzibur. Why is the Dina Koshya? The first day Rosh Hashanah, Hashem is judging Klal Yisrael as a whole. Where will we be, Klal Yisrael, not the Yechidim? Where will the nation stand in a year from now? That will be decided on Rosh Hashanah, on the first day. Will Klal Yisrael, will there be peace in Eretz Yisrael? Will Klal Yisrael, will be stability, security, and peace as a whole? The Klal Yisrael, the nation. How will the world respect, look up to Klal Yisrael as a whole, as a nation, as Yisrael? Hashem has very high expectations, because it's the Tzibur, it's Dina Koshya. The second day Rosh Hashanah, you're dealing with the individuals, Yechidim. What do you want from the poor guy? Poor guy, he works the whole day, he's tired, he doesn't have, it's hard. So you go easy on the individual. The Yochid is different, that's Dina Rav. So when we put all these things together, we get a whole different perspective of what we're doing on the first day of Rosh Hashanah and what we're doing on the second day of Rosh Hashanah.
I can take what you just said and make it just the opposite. I could say that by the Hukosai, at the end is the Hummer. So that's softer. And of course it's in Rabim. I could say the Schusim or the Rabim. Make it
so. Okay, we're going to come to some of the ideas about the Nechama in a moment. You're right. We're going to come to those. But let's, on a very simple level, being that it's Dina Koshya, we can say, this is one approach, it's a very, very strict, we need the Nechama. Because the judgment is so severe, it's Midas Hadin, so if we would follow pure Midas Hadin, we're finished. Therefore, Hashem has no choice but to give us at the end some form of nechama. But Dina Rafia, the whole thing, we're going easy on you. You want a bonus on a bonus? Person committed the worst crime. So the judge says, we'll put you in a country club. Okay, we'll put you in a country club and there'll be not even minimum security. And then the guy says, oh, could you also deliver every single day Danish? Have the bakery deliver pizza and Danishes. What kind of chutzpah is this? I've already gotten so easy on you, and now you have tightness, you want even more. So there's no need, because in essence, the Dina Rafia. That's one approach. Okay, but the Enochanam, you touched upon something else, your other approaches. Before we go to the other approach, let's focus on another theme which ties into the two Teichachas. Adam Mepharshim explained that we know there was a double Chorban. Tisha B'Av topic. Churban Bayis Rishon and the Churban Bayis Sheni. The Churban Bayis, the Toich of the fur of Parash B'Chosai corresponds to the Churban Bayis Rishon. The Churban of the Bayis Sheni corresponds to the Churban Bayis Sheni. In Parash Kisavo, now what does that mean? What's this thing they're going to tell us? So let's introduce another fact, another Yisod. In the Toicha, Parash B'Chosai, Hashem's name is not mentioned at all. Zero. Not even once. Only at the very end. At the very end, when it says Hashem will have Rachmanis, I'll remember Gam Aretz Ezkra, I'll have Rachmanis on you. So we allude to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In the Toicha of Parashas Kisavo, Hashem's name is mentioned 26 times. Every other pasuk, every other word in the Torah, every other pasuk, come on, almost every pasuk, Hashem's name is there. And which name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Yud-Kei Vav-Kei, not Elohim. And Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is the Midah of Rachamim. It's the Midah of Rachamim. Which means, that's why it's all goes, it's all, everything ties together, links together, it's Dina Rafia. In the Toichecha, in Hashem punishing us, Hashem is always there. There's always a Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. There's always some Dargah, some degree of Rachamim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sprinkles upon us. Now let's go back to what we just said. The Toicha Parshas B'Chosai corresponds to Bayis Rishon. Why was the Bayis Rishon destroyed? The big three: Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. These three averos, they touch upon an utter rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Avodah Zarah certainly is. I'm not going to serve God. I'm going to serve an idol. I deny the existence of God. I don't want to know from him. Even if he exists, I don't want to know from him. He's out. You're out, Hashem. Shvichas damim, ki betzelem elokim bara es adam. Gilui Arayos also, it's the fundamentals. It's man. You deny man is ki betzelem. This is man. This is wife. This is a man and wife as one unit. You're taking away from a person his wife. It's the fundamentals. You're denying the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bayis Sheni was because of what? Sinas Chinam. What does that mean? In the Bayis Sheni, they were Erel Chayidin. They were good people. They davened with Kavana. There was no Yetzirah at Bayis Sheni. And the Bayis Sheni, they took away the Yetzirah of the Bayis Rishon. They were the Zorah. So it was like today. No different than it is today. Yeah. No difference it is today. There's no Yetzirah for Avodah Zarah. So there's a Yetzirah for Arayos. Okay, so you could deal with it. You deal with it. We deal with it today. I'm sure they dealt with it then. There's no Avodah Zarah. Gilui Arayos wasn't an issue. They dealt with it. And there was no Shvichas Damim wasn't an issue either. There was no murder in the streets. It was a good society. So why was the Charaf Sinas Chinam? Come to shul, you daven with kavana, chatas yavis pashati, and then you give your friend a punch. Rabbi Shalom, I know I'm not. You know that Hashem exists. You're fully aware. You're cognizant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you hate your friend. Oh, mida kenegen mida. So what's the Toicha Parashas Kisavo? Hashem is there. Hashem is there 26 times in the Toicha Parashas Kisavo. Because the Bayis Sheni was charaf. No one denied Hashem's existence in the time of the Bayis Sheni. Hashem is there. No one's denying Hashem's existence. It's just that the sinna. Oh, the sinna schinim. Okay, so there'll be punishment. I'll punish you. You're gonna go. You're gonna suffer for all the tzaras you brought upon your friend. In the Bayis Rishon, there was no sinna schinim. But there was denial of Hashem's existence. Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichas Damim. Oh, you deny my existence. Mida keneged mida. I'm not there either for you. The Toicha is so great. Hashem is not mentioned. That's part of the Toicha. I'm going to punish you, and when you suffer all the punishments, I'm not going to be there with you. You're not going to be able to sense that I'm there. See, the Toicha of the Tarash Kisav has a silver lining. And the Farshim bring out, Fehifla Hashem Esma Koischa. Hashem will make wondrous your punishments. But it's Fehifla Hashem! When a person suffers from the Toicha of the Kisavo, you are fully aware Hashem is punishing you. Now, I don't like it. It's not pleasant. It's extremely painful. But at least there's a silver lining. Hashem is doing this. When a father hits a child, he sees the father is hitting him. The child is suffering. He's in pain. But he knows at least that their father, the Bayesheni, is the Toicha, the Bayesheni, the Hifla, Hashem es Makoyscha. There is some silver lining. Why? Mida k'neged mida. Because your sins were done with the real, with the acknowledgement of Hashem is here. I acknowledge HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I dive into him. But I also go and I hit my friend. But the Bayis Rishon, there they denied Hashem's existence. So when the Hashem brought Teichecha, it was a more severe form of Teichecha, where it was a more severe form of Teichecha, where Kadosh Baruch Hu's the acknowledgement of Kadosh Baruch Hu was not felt. Hashem's name is not mentioned. It's a much harsher punishment when you don't even sense HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there to protect you, to take care of you. It's the ultimate hester upon him. Where was it fulfilled? Purim miracle. V'yanochi astir astir panai. That was a result of the toichecha of the Bayis Rishon. The Purim miracle took place in between the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. That was the kiyum gezuntat of the toichecha of the Bayis of Michul Kosai. And Michul Kosai is v'yanochi astir astir panai. Hashem is gone. Hashem is hidden. Hester upon him. Okay, so this is the other. There's another very beautiful idea I saw. There's a very beautiful idea that there is a nechama. There is a very powerful nechama at the end. At the end of this toichah. This is very beautiful. Because the two toichahs tie in. They interlink. They tie in together. What do we mean? What is the toichah? What is the toichah? The ikur toichah is parashas Michul Kosai. Mipi hagvura. From HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens? At the very end, Hashem says, don't worry. V'yaf gam zois, v'yeretz oivehem, lo ma'astim, lo ga'altim, lo chalasom, lo fe'ri si'itam, I'm going to remember you. I'm going to remember Avraham, Yaakov, Yitzchak, and Avraham. Let me read you the pasuk at the very end of the Teichah in Parshas Michul Kosai. There will be nechama. There will be, let me read, Vimgoal Yigal Vizukharti Lohem Bris Viafkam Zois Biosa Biaritzaivem Loy Maasim Lo Galtam Lakhalosim Lafer Brisitam Kiani Hashem Lokehem. Vizukharti Lem Bris Rishonim Asharitzam Yaris Mishraim Lin Hagoyim Alios Lohem Lohim Ani Hashem. Okay, so there is Nechama. Now we have to remember, what is the Torah of Parashas Michul Kosai? It is for the Tzibur. The Tzibur. Right? That's the fundamental difference. Michul Kosai is the Tzibur. Parashas Kisavu is the Yochid. When it comes to the tzibur after the harsh punishments, Hashem says, don't worry, I'll always be there. Even though I've said these harsh things, you'll be okay. The afgam zois b'yosam eretzim loyma asked him, the tzibur klal Yisrael will always survive. The ganetzach Yisrael lo yishaker. That's the nechama. It comes now to Parashas Kisavo. We're dealing with the yochid. A clap, another clap, punishment. And what's the very last pasuk where we would expect to find the chama? It says here, "V'hashivcha Hashem Mitzrayim b'oniyos on ships, ba'aderech asher amarti lo l'chol lo yisoysif oy l'roysa." And then you'll come to a foreign land, and then the Yochid sins. He'll be sold, he'll be sent away on ships. And guess what? The Ein Koine. No one's going to buy you. There are no buyers. So it's a curse, right? It's a curse. You're going to be sent, the yachid, the individual will have sin and terrible things will happen, or groups of individuals will sin, and they'll be put on ships, sent away to be sold as a slave in a foreign country. You'll come to a foreign country, we want to buy you. Buy me as a slave, not buying you. That's the end of the Teichah, period. Eilu divrei habris. This is the biggest bracha. Why? Because if the yachid would be sold to another nation, what does that mean? If the individual is cut off and he's sold, he's no longer part of Klal Yisrael in the bigger picture. Here I am, I'm part of Klal Yisrael. Sin, punishment. I'm now on the verge of being finished off. I'm now going to be sold. When I'm sold is where I leave the fold. I'm no longer part of Klal Yisrael. Hashem says, guess what? No one's going to buy you. They'll have to take you back. They'll take you back. you'll go back. And if you're part of the klal, you know, you're not a yochid, or you're part of the klal, for the klal, you're okay. Because the klal is the gam netzach yisrael lo yishager. Because I've already guaranteed the klal, nechama, at the end of Parshas Kisavo, the gam zacharti yes brisi yes avram yes yitzach yes aritz eskar. The Parshas Bichukosai discusses the klal, and it ends off with nechama. The klal will always survive. There will always be nechama for the group. Come to Parshas Kisavo. We discuss the yochid, the prat, and it gets worse and worse and worse until it comes to the point where the prat is ready to be cut off from the klal. And the pasuk at the end says, "And when you don't worry, the ein koineh, the yochid will never go be cut off from the klal. No one's going to want to buy him. He'll be forced to come back to the klal. And once you're coming back to the klal, minela yenichlal in the nechama that I have given the klal in Parshas Bichukosai, Viafes, Brisi Avraham, Yitzchak, Viyakov." Now there's one other. Okay. Let's leave it with that. Let me just conclude with one half liner with this Mitzvah Shabbos, a slichos. Is the beginning of Slichos, Mitzvah Shabbos. Rav Shor is a beautiful piece on Slichos in the Lekach Valivo, to summarize in a few words what he says. We know from there's a famous Levush. The Levush explains that Slichos is structured like Tzila. First you have Ashrei, you have Chatzi Kaddish, Ashrei, then you have the Slichos, and then you have Tachnun, like after davening, and then you have Kaddish Tiskabel, and Aleinu. So simply, most of the Mefarshim learn from this Levush is that Slichos is like an additional prayer. Rav Shur says, summarizes, is no, it's not like Ma'ariv, it's not like Shachris, it's like Mincha. Slichos is an exact match for Tfilas Mincha. Ashrei, like Mincha, Chatzi Kaddish, then comes Shmona Esrei, the Slichos. The Slichos is the Shmona Esrei. These things you say yourself, then there's Chazar Sashatz, the Shat says Slichos, and then when you finish the Shmona Esrei, you have Tachnun, like Mincha, you have Tachnun, Kaddish to Skabel, you have Aleinu. So it's Mincha. It corresponds to Tfilas Mincha. What is unique about a Mincha? Who brings the mincha? An ani brings the mincha. Mincha is cherished by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the carbon of the Dali Dalis, of the poorest of the poor, because there are three madregos. There's an animal, there are birds, and if you can't even afford to bring a bird, then you bring a mincha. As we learned today in Yeshaya, who does Hashem associate with? The Lev Nitka, the downtrodden, the ani, the Lev Nitka, HaKadosh Baruch Hu associates the success, the secret to be matzliach in Slichos. You have to realize Slichos corresponds to Mincha, and a Mincha is the carbon of the ani. Ki kedalim ucharoshim dafachnu delosecha. That's what we say in Slichos. We constantly have to makir that a person should be a dal, an ani, dafachnu delosecha. And with that mindset, that approach, that is the key to success in the Slichos. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Shabbos of Brocha, and a Shabbos of the Slichos.
There is no online
question. You're right. Okay.
Sunday begins Slichos. No.
Yes. Mitzvah Shabbos. The Mitzvah Menucha is next Sunday night.
We can do Sunday.
Yeah. Right, Sunday night? Next Sunday night.